I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Eaton Corporation. I'm joined now by Yaku Deploy, who is Eaton's product manager for Africa, for a discussion on UPSs, all the way from home solutions up to industrial scale use in data center type environments. Yaku, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Duncan.
Pleasure. Tell me a bit about Eaton Corporation. I see it's a massive New York Stock Exchange listed company with about 100,000 employees, and it goes back many decades.
Yes, so Eaton itself is over 100 years old. It's a global company, so we play mainly in the electrical and industrial segments in the market, aerospace as well, and automotive and truck division as well. So it's quite a lot. Large international company. It's got its fingers in a lot of pies. So that is Eaton. So in South Africa, we still have the hydraulic division in South Africa, and then also the electrical division and truck division.
Okay. All right. Well, it's the electrical side of things we're going to be talking about today, and UPSs specifically. We're going to talk about UPS as a backup power solution during load shedding, as well as the importance of having backup power in the healthcare sector during COVID-19, which I think will be a very interesting discussion. But let's start with load shedding. We've been quite fortunate now. I think it's been, three and a half months since Eskom last implemented load shedding. Unfortunately, that's not going to last forever, and it is going to return at some point, especially as the economy is opened up again. I imagine, Yaku, that UPS systems are being put through the sort of strain they weren't necessarily designed for in the South African context.
Yes, so you're absolutely right there. The UPSs are working overtime. So that is why it's quite important to make sure that your systems are good, up and running, and that it's serviced and maintained and ready to perform if and when needed. So, yeah, you say load shedding. Yeah, we didn't have load shedding, but we are seeing a lot of power cuts due to power cuts on local levels, at municipality levels. I just take myself on Friday evening, I think we were 2-3 hours without power. So although Eskom is not load shedding, we are seeing a lot of power cuts within municipality regions due to overload, especially now with the cold. A lot of guys suffered of overloading. Yes. And that's exactly what the UPS is. It's one, it's there to protect you against these load shedding events. Hopefully you can ride through them. But also you must just remember that you probably have about 9 common power problems which you experience daily, which you are not aware. So obviously the main one is power failure when you see the lights and so forth are going off. But there's lots of other power issues on the line as well. And that is what a UPS does. It actually protects you against those issues as well.
Yeah. What has the demand been like, given that there's been no load shedding over the last few months? Are companies investing in infrastructure in anticipation of the return to load shedding after the COVID-19 lockdown is over?
Yes, so I think if you look over the last couple of years, guys are already setting up for load shedding and so forth. I almost think we're back in a cycle where you now need to start looking at replacing batteries and so forth. So it's a continuous cycle. What we've seen now is a large demand for e-commerce, financial guys. It's actually to set up the employees remotely from home. Oh, yes. And to sort of sustain them for a 3-4 hour period. We see it a lot. I take it for myself at Eaton. I haven't been to the office since COVID, so I'm working remotely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I need to be set up to be relevant.
Yeah. I'd imagine that it's when load shedding does return, it could be a big problem because a lot of companies are still working remotely. And I think this pandemic and this lockdown has in many respects changed the nature of work. And many employees, I think many companies, have realized it's actually feasible to have a large percentage of their workforce working from home at any given time. But I suppose if load shedding suddenly returns, then we've got a problem because you've got the employees sitting at work at home with probably no diesel or battery backup to power them through. And obviously the power goes off, their productivity falls through the floor. I guess a solution is going to be needed for that sort of problem. Maybe take us through, and I know Eaton offers solutions in the home environment as well. Maybe let's start there before we get into the big industrial use cases.
Okay, when you typically look at a home solution, for me at home, you just want to drive maybe a desktop PC or a laptop and one or two peripherals that's plugged in there so that you can continue. So generally, these are very lightly loaded applications, maybe 200 to 400 watts worth of load. Mm. So it's very small load. So for us to achieve 4 hours battery backup with a small UPS, you only need maybe between a 1 to 3 kVA UPS with one battery pack. And that should see you through the 4 hour period of load shedding. Mm. That is, that's worst case. Generally, load shedding, depending on your schedules, are maybe 2 hours. So it should be no problem for you to go through this period. And that's just from a small UPS home site. So obviously for your home users also setting up working remotely, but obviously there's a couple of peripherals in the house as well. You maybe want to protect your very expensive curved LED TV or something to that extent. So there's lots of applications in and around home for UPS. Mm. What we also do, sorry, maybe just to touch base on this, is we do now, and we see a trend to that towards a market that's for alternative energy or alternative power sources. So we see a lot of what we call the hybrid inverters. We also now have our own range, hybrid inverter with a lithium ion battery, installed with a couple of PV panels on your house. And basically, when the sun is out and power is good, you store the battery and then you can consume it later. So you can either consume it at nighttime, you can reuse that power and to drive that utility bill down, or you can save it for battery backup. So generally, with these products, you have a couple of modes. You have let's call it a green mode, or energy saving mode, where the idea of the machine is to drive your utility bill down as low as possible. But then you also have a mode where you say, listen, now the priority is to make sure my battery is full and ready, which is perfect for South Africa. So we have good sunshine most of the year round. With Eskom, luckily nowadays you get a bit of a heads up. Listen, we're going to implement stage 1, 2, or 4, whatever the case might be, at 6 o'clock tonight. So you can quickly remotely in the cloud go onto your machine and say, listen, go from energy saving mode into storage mode. Now make sure that my batteries are full and ready to drive me through these load shedding times. So
well, that's
very a lot of applications out there.
That's very clever. Yeah. So what's the best, let's say I'm a home user, or I want to put in a solution at home. What's sort of the best practice? What are some of the mistakes people make when looking at UPS solutions for home use? And what are some of the best practice examples of what you should be doing?
Okay, so for home users, UPS might be a little bit overkill because it's a very advanced application, more IT applications and so forth. So if you think you're going to drive your house with 3-4 hours worth of UPS power, you know, it's probably going to be a very expensive solution. And that's where you probably need to more look like a inverter solar type application with storage. But within your house, if you have critical devices like your PC and desktop or musical instruments or really sensitive equipment, you typically want to then power that with a UPS, and you know you have clean dedicated power to that. Right. So and also a couple of things just to consider when you start looking at inverters and so forth for your home, and I'm now talking bringing your whole home onto it. There's various types of grid tie and so forth, and personally we find that the hybrid inverters is a better suit for home user.
What is a hybrid inverter?
So traditionally your grid tie inverters, what happens, you need a referencing signal from the utilities. So you need an AC waveform on them. You need power on the inverter for the PV and inverter to work. So what happened during load shedding, you don't have that reference signal and the whole inverter shuts down. So although you have lots of panels, lots of inverters on your house, you still sit with no power. Where hybrid inverters between the best, between like a solar inverter and a general inverter. So it's grid tie, it can backfeed, but as soon as it sees main failures, it acts like a general inverter and it will then give battery backup into the house or into the critical load
as
needed.
Okay.
So that's just one of the pitfalls you need to make sure that, does your inverter work when you have mains failure?
Okay. Now, you mentioned lithium-ion batteries, lithium is typically what I associate with being in my laptop or in my smartphone, for example. But you can get these lithium-ion batteries on a very large scale as well. Now, I know these typical inverters that people use in homes are generally lead-acid battery technology, and they have to be swapped out every couple of years because they degrade, if that's the right terminology. Maybe take us through battery technology. Have we seen advances in battery technology in recent years? It seems that the rest of the technology industry moves ahead at one heck of a pace, but batteries don't seem to keep up.
Yes, so I think lead acid batteries has been around for many, many years, and which is the traditional storage for UPSs or inverters and so forth that is used for storage. But we now see more and more move towards lithium ion. And obviously that is more thanks to the smartphone that's pushing a lot of the lithium ion technology, but so as well the electrical vehicle market. Mm. And this is why we have partnered up with Nissan itself for their lithium ion battery solution. So the lithium ion battery you will find in our hybrid X-Storage inverter is lithium ion batteries from Nissan. So they've been buying for the years. They made big strides in terms of electrical vehicle market, and that's a massive growing market for them. And we capitalizing of that technology they already made on the lithium ion battery. And what we are seeing is the price of lithium batteries are going down. So the more people are sort of heading towards or using lithium ion batteries for storage, the cost will eventually start going down on lithium batteries. Yeah. And there's a lot of plus points for lithium ion batteries. Obviously, the cycle periods on them, you can cycle them way more than what you can cycle a lithium ion, a lead acid battery. Mm-hmm. And then also, it's a little bit more, it can take a little bit more harsher temperature, so you don't need to worry making sure it's at a stable temperature. You can operate in a little bit higher temperature.
Just generally better technology all around, but more expensive.
Correct. Mm.
But the prices are coming down, have been coming down for years, right?
It is. So the more we use, and those are mainly driven with international markets like electrical vehicle and telecoms and so forth. And obviously now a lot of UPS manufacturers are also moving toward. So there's a lot of benefit toward it, and going into the future, that is what we see where it's probably going to end. Hence, where you're probably going to have what we call energy center on the larger system, where you're going to have one system and you're going to have alternative energy, whether it's wind, solar power, whatever, plugged into the machine. And then you're going to have lithium ions behind you for storage, and then you're going to have the UPS front end for the clean, dedicated double conversion power. Mm-hmm. So I even look at our facilities in Waiteville. We got what we call a microgrid system. So it's the same during the day. We have lots of PV panels. We have a 300 kVA inverter on it, and then we have 200 kilowatt hour worth of storage. And we use it to do a bit of load shifting and battery backup and so forth. So you need to be clever. If you look at what the cost of electricity is going, the way it's increasing, you know, it's not staying with inflation rates, 6% a year. It's going double digits, and some of these price hikes are quite excessive. Yeah. So this is why important for us. It's important when you're now starting looking at larger systems. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in healthcare, data centers, and so forth, the total cost of ownership, you know, what is it going to cost you to maintain the machine, or what are you going to pay on utility bills just to power your critical load? And hence, it's very important to make sure that your UPSs are efficient, that efficiency is at the highest level at all time. And this is why we have a couple of technologies built into our products to make sure that that these machines are running as efficient as possible.
How do you measure that efficiency?
Well, basically, just in layman's term, you measure the power you have on the input in terms of amps on the input and the amps on the output.
Okay.
Because there's a double conversion in any UPS where we take the AC convert to DC, mm-hmm. DC back to AC, there is losses. So your input and output difference, that will be the efficiency of the machine.
Okay. Interesting.
And it makes a huge difference in terms of costing and so forth. If my machine or a machine is 2% more efficient than another product or so, it makes, you literally start talking hundreds of thousand rand difference per year, and over life expectancy of that machine of 10 years, if you depending on how long you want to run a product, you now start talking millions if the machine is just 2% more efficient. So virtually the price you paid for the UPS up front becomes irrelevant over the running cost of that product over the next 10 years.
Yeah, so don't make your purchasing decision just based on the sticker price. You need to consider much more than that.
You need to look at the total cost of ownership. There's a lot of great technology out there. There's a lot of high efficiency products out there and so forth. Mm-hmm.
So let's go up. We've spoken about the home market, but let's start to move up the stack a bit. I imagine these UPS solutions can get pretty massive. What are some of the solutions you offer to larger customers?
So yeah, it's quite interesting with the improvement of the internet into South Africa. We see a lot of data centers going up, and they're going bigger and bigger. So there's a huge demand for larger systems, generally around 600 kVA. But we go up to a 1.2 MVA UPS, and then you can still put 4 in parallel. So you can go 4.4, 4.8 MV.
What does that mean? I mean, 1.2 MVA UPS, so what is that capable of doing?
Well, it's capable of providing 1,000 kilowatt of power. It's a lot of power.
Yeah. So running entire blades of data center servers, for example.
Yes. Correct. So generally, their legs are slightly smaller because they built in redundancy and so forth, but around the 600 to 900 kVA marks, and then they will put maybe 2 or 3 of them in parallel for redundancy, and then they will have an A feed and a B feed. So it all depends on the criteria and availability of a UPS. This is where there are certain technologies within the UPSs which make it very interesting for these types of customers with large systems. So if you look at the general efficiency curve of a UPS or anything, so you have a very low efficiency or bad efficiency, and then the curve peaks out at ultimate efficiency. So those efficiencies normally on a UPS are anything from 40% till about 90% when the UPSs are loaded at that machine is performing optimal. Yep. So the problem is once a UPS are lightly loaded, they're not perfectly or they're not running at optimal efficiencies. And this is where you have certain technologies within our own product. We have VMMS technology, Variable Module Management System. So we have modular UPSs in our design. And then what we will do is typically in the data center, you have multiple UPSs on leg A, multiple UPSs on leg B, and they're all parallel. Because they're all sharing the load, they are normally lightly loaded. So those loads are sitting anything between 23 to 30%. So from efficiency curve, they may be 1.5 to 2% below the machine's optimal efficiency. And this is where in double conversion mode with VMMS technology, what we do is we start shutting down power modules within the UPS. Okay. So we're basically decreasing the UPS kVA rating. By doing that, we're bringing the UPS rating closer to the actual load, and we're just bringing the efficiency right up to the machine's optimal efficiency rate. So a lot of these guys are going with that technology, and there's huge savings for them.
Yeah. I've toured a number of these large data centers that are being built around Joburg in particular. And a lot of them have battery backup technology, but they use it primarily just as a bridge to get the diesel generators up and running. Is that typically the way that data centers manage it? I mean, is it practical at all to run an entire data center on battery backup through an entire cycle of load shedding, for example?
I think the risk associated with that, I don't think data centers will do it, so they won't drive it right through. So ultimately what it is basically just to have that bridge between mains failure and the generator start to have that bridge.
Right.
So the battery backup there is more if everything else fails, say maybe you have a problem on your generator.
Right.
And it will give you maybe half an hour or hour to start shutting down. Mm-hmm. Or try and find alternative solutions. But there's saying that there is new technology that we now are pushing as what we call UPS with as a reserve. Mm-hmm. So typically, if you take a large data center, they got a lot of UPS power and they got a lot of battery backup, battery power or storage within their own facility, which I hardly ever use. I only use it when I have load shedding and to transition during that couple of seconds from mains to generator. So they sit with all these store energies. So what this technology allows you, you can come with agreement with a utility provider that if you measure the grid is under pressure, so the frequency from 50 hertz slightly going down, we can actually say to the UPS, how much stored power do you have? How much do you need to power the data? Whatever is stored, because you have multiple redundant systems, take the excess power and feed it back into the grid to try and help your utility provider to stabilize the grid for a couple of seconds while they need to do a bit of adjustments. Mm-hmm. So that is new power or new technology coming in, and this is why lithium ion are very key going forward. Because as a data center, like I said to you, those UPSs are running very low. So there's a lot of capacity left and you have a lot of battery in there. So you can just support the grid and we support for the grids. We don't talking minutes or something. You're talking anything from 3 to 10 seconds, which you just need to help support the grid. So if you now look at South Africa and you look at how many data centers you have in and around, so how much available power you have sitting in battery. So can you imagine if you have that technology where if the grid is under pressure, everybody can just support the grid for 10 seconds.
Mm.
It will make a massive difference.
Yeah. All right, let's talk. We mentioned at the beginning of this discussion that we're going to talk a bit about the COVID-19 pandemic and the demand for UPS solutions in the healthcare sector. Maybe take us through that. What are you seeing in that space? And why is it important?
So first, obviously, within the healthcare sector, you have your administration side, so your facilities and so forth, and then you have your theater side of when it comes to the healthcare sector, specifically if you're now looking at hospitals. So now this is the time to make sure that your UPS are performing 100%, make sure everything is right, there's no alarms or anything on it. And then crucially, because we're now going into, let's call it load shedding season, we need to make sure that the batteries are good so that if you need to switch from mains to generator, that everything is working. So it's very important now to make sure your UPSs or servers, batteries is in good condition. And take care. If it's new installations and so forth, you have the opportunity now to make sure you have the right UPS for the application in terms of efficiencies and so forth.
Okay.
So keeping those operation costs down. Also what we see, and we see it not just in healthcare, we also see it in a lot of industries, the guys are moving their normal check-in point or your point of entrance are shifting slightly a little bit off to one side where you go through pre-screenings, checks, and they capture your details and so forth. So we also see it in the healthcare sector. Say, you know, it's not walk into a building to a front reception and being assisted there. There's pre-screening happening before that and a lot of it. And this is why these smaller type UPSs is great. It's easier. They're not that heavy portable, so it's easy to set up something prior to your entrance where a guy's got a little laptop or however he's capturing the information. Mm-hmm. Just make sure as well, if you strike in power, if you have power failure during that period, at least you can still continue driving your business or going ahead with check-ins.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I imagine that particularly during COVID-19, where we've seen the requirement for ventilators, which draw power, that this is particularly important as well.
Yes, so you see that a lot of ventilators and so forth. So, I mean, you're probably going to have one or two criteria or two options here. You're either going to put one big central system down to try and power a lot of these applications or so forth, or you're probably going to have more per ventilator system where you'll probably want to have a UPS with battery backup there to make sure that you can drive through these periods. Mm-hmm. So it depends on your application there.
Mm. All right, Jaco, before I let you go, maybe take us through your go-to-market strategy in South Africa. I know you work through Datanet at Pinnacle, the IC2 distributor. Maybe take us through your relationship with that company, your go-to-market strategy around that.
Yeah, so with Pinnacle and Datanet, we've been having a relationship for a couple of years, I think 15 and longer years. Since I've joined Eaton, we already had relationships with Datanet. So our route to market on a smaller systems is through the channel, of which Datanet and Pinnacle plays a big part for our single phase and three phase products up to 40 kilowatts. So from Datanet's point of view, they have a sales team there that can assist you in all your needs. They've been trained by us. Even with all their partners and resellers and so forth, we have Power Advantage programs with them, mm-hmm. where you can actually register as an IT company, you can register to them. And then we do a lot of communications via Datanet and Pinnacle to these partners. If we bring out new products or we have great features, we'd like to communicate through our partner awards program. So it's very important also to make sure that you are registered with these customers and or with Pinnacle and that you're on our database. And then we do a lot of communication there. Yes, so we do a lot of projects with them. So from your small type applications to government, big, large rollouts and so forth, we have done a lot of projects with Datanet.
Excellent stuff. Jaco du Plooy is Eaton's Product Manager for Africa. Thanks so much for talking to Tech Central today and sharing your insights.